Al-Malik died on June 24, 2026. He was 59 years old. For anyone under 30 who might not know the name, Al-Malik was not just a tech blogger. He was the person who demonstrated that independent tech journalism could be rigorous, deeply sourced, and carry genuine cultural weight. He founded GigOM back in the mid-2000s, at a time when most serious media organizations treated tech as a niche vertical. He argued, correctly as it turned out, that technology was the story, the lens through which everything else would eventually be understood.
What strikes me about his legacy from a business perspective is that he was one of the first people to think seriously about the economics of being a tech journalist who actually understood technology. He came from an engineering and financial background before moving into writing, and that combination gave him a credibility that a lot of his contemporaries lacked. He wasn't just covering product announcements, he was analyzing business models, competitive dynamics, the strategic logic behind acquisitions. That's a standard that a lot of the current generation of tech journalists inherited from him, whether they know it or not.
The HN thread for his passing had 112 comments, which for an obituary is significant. And what came through reading those comments was how personal his influence felt to people. Founders who said he was the first journalist to take them seriously. Developers who said he made them feel like the work they were doing mattered in a broader cultural sense. There's a post on his own site, om.co, marking the dates, 1966 to 2026, and it's sparse in a way that feels intentional and right.
The internet loses voices like his with regularity now, and each time there's a tendency to say it's irreplaceable. But I think the HN community's response here was more nuanced than that. It wasn't just grief, it was a kind of professional reckoning. What does it mean to do what he did? What's the successor to that model of journalism?
And in a strange thematic parallel, the same week we're mourning Al-Malik, the open source community published a collective letter that's circulating under the title, "We All Depend on Open Source. We Will Defend It Together." The letter is hosted at akrites.org, and it's gathering signatures from maintainers, companies, and individual contributors. The core argument is that open source infrastructure is under sustained pressure from licensing disputes, from corporate capture, from maintainer burnout, and from a broader political environment that increasingly wants to treat software as a regulated industry. The letter frames this as a collective defense problem, not an individual one.
The political context here is important. Over the past 2 years, we've seen a real acceleration in legislative attempts, both in the US and Europe, to impose liability on open source maintainers for security vulnerabilities in their code. The EU's Cyber Resilience Act went through several contentious revisions, specifically because of pushback from the open source community, arguing that treating unpaid maintainers the same as commercial software vendors would effectively kill the ecosystem. This letter feels like a continuation of that fight.
And the economic argument underpins all of it. The Linux Foundation has done studies estimating that the total value of open source software, if you had to rebuild it commercially, runs into the trillions of dollars. Yet the actual maintainer community is extraordinarily thin. Many critical projects are maintained by one or two people, often in their spare time. The letter's framing of this as a collective defense problem, rather than an individual responsibility problem, is, I think, the right frame. You can't ask a single maintainer to bear the legal and financial weight of infrastructure that Fortune 500 companies depend on.
The 99 comments on the HN thread were interesting. There was real debate about whether collective letters actually accomplish anything, or whether they're more symbolic than strategic. A few commenters pointed to the OpenSSL situation after Heartbleed, where the shock of that vulnerability finally prompted serious corporate funding for a previously starving project. The argument is that visibility events, even painful ones, are sometimes what it takes to shift behavior.
I'll add one more layer to this. Al-Malik and open source aren't unrelated themes. A lot of what he spent his career arguing was that the internet's most valuable infrastructure was built by communities, not corporations, and that the corporations who depended on that infrastructure had a moral obligation that they weren't meeting. That argument feels more urgent in 2026 than it did when he first made it 20 years ago.